Please welcome Rosh Wright.
So this only just happened recently, so I'm totally unprepared. But I just want to tell you that I think that the colonoscopy was invented by God to keep us older folk humble. Because looking around the room, I think I'm in the right demographic to think there's several people who know what I'm talking about. I actually just had my second chance because I had one 10 years ago and I just had another one. I have to say that the prep has become somewhat easier. I can remember 10 years ago, it felt like weeks of just eating Jell-O. But now that's down to one day, but they're very specific about what you can eat and drink and what color it can be. You can't drink anything red and it has to be clear fluids and this, that, and the other. Very, very specific instructions that you're given. And then they give you this big thing, this big, actually I think this big, and it's powder and you add water and you have to drink this stuff. And it's called Go Lightly. What a misnomer. It tastes like the water in Franklin Ponds in Paso Robles. If any of you have been to that sulfur springs, that's what it tastes like. And you have to drink all of this stuff in about 12 hours. And then they tell you that you're not allowed to drive. Well, you're allowed to drive yourself to the location where you're going to have it, but you're not allowed to drive afterwards because you will have had what we call conscious sedation, and you're not allowed to drive after conscious sedation, which is fair enough. So I'm not wanting to, you know, put upon any of my friends or anything, especially for this sort of procedure. I don't want to have to give any details or anything like I'm giving to you. So I think, well, maybe I could drive to the location and then Uber home and then, you know, go and pick up my car the next day. But they won't allow you to Uber home. They say you're allowed to Uber there because you're still with it. But that, you know, if they put somebody post-colonoscopy into a car with an Uber driver, goodness knows what might happen, right? So they won't let you Uber home. So I did talk a friend of mine into letting me come to her house. She lives about 5 minutes from the location. So I dropped my car, she took me in, and she sort of acted like my mother, making sure that I got there and with everything I needed, and you have the right piece of paper and everything, and helped me to check in because you sort of get a bit loopy. So they take me in and I'm lying there and I'm thinking back over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, because I'm absolutely starving. I'm thirsty, haven't been allowed to drink for a couple of hours. I followed this procedure so rigorously. Being a nurse, I know, you know, you're supposed to do that. And I'm lying there and they come and first thing they take my blood pressure. And they say, oh, yes, well, it's a little high. It's 158 over 90 or something. I said, I'm sorry. Could you please take it again? That is not correct. I know my blood pressure is usually about 110 over 65. So they say, yeah, we'll take it again. So now it's up over 160. And I said, no, something's wrong, because 10 years ago when I had this procedure done, they hooked me up to the monitor and everybody left the room. And the monitor started to beep and squawk and do what it did, alarm, because my heart rate had fallen below the level and my blood pressure had fallen below the level. So the doctor walked in and said, are you okay? I said, well, according to the monitor, I'm dead, but actually I feel fine. That's 10 years ago. Now I've got this high blood pressure and I'm thinking, what is going on? So I had them take it a little bit later and it was down to 124 or something. So anyway, I'm lying then. All this is going on and I don't really want to be there. And I can hear the guy in the next room, in the next little cubicle. And so they start to ask him, you know, did you have anything to eat or drink this morning? Did you go through everything? And he said, no. Well, just yesterday with my soup, I had some of those, what are those little square things made out of bread that they put, croutons? Yeah, I had some of those in my soup. And I can hear the nurse saying, well, did you read the instructions that you're not allowed to eat anything? Well, yeah, but I had to drink that awful stuff, and I couldn't drink that awful stuff if I didn't have some croutons in my soup. And they said, well, is that all you had? Yeah, that's all I had. So nothing this morning. No, nothing this morning except the piece of pita bread that I had. You ate some pita bread this morning? Well, yes, I had to drink all that stuff. I couldn't drink it without the pita bread. I mean, I understood where the guy was coming from, but, you know, please. So all this is delaying me anyway. But anyway, finally, I did get, you know, sent in, and then you don't really remember anything because you're under conscious sedation. The next thing, here I am, my friend who's still acting like my mother is there, ready to take me home. And the doctor comes to see me, and she's sitting there, and he said to me, oh, everything's fine except you have one very small polyp, absolutely benign, but we will send it to pathology just in case. And if it's clear, you won't have to come back for 10 years for your next second chance. But if it's precancerous, then you have to come back in 5 years. I heard it very clearly. My friend heard it very clearly. So yesterday, I get a phone call from the office. Oh, hello. Yes, we're just really pleased to be able to tell you that your biopsy is fine. So we'd like you to come back in 5 years. I said, I'm sorry? Your biopsy is fine. What part of your biopsy is fine? We'd like you to come back in 5 years. Don't you understand? I said, the part I don't understand is that the doctor said if the biopsy was fine and not precancerous, then I didn't have to come back for 10 years. Only if it were precancerous did I have to come back in five. Why am I going to have to come back in 5 years if it's fine? She said, well, that's what the doctor wrote on the slip. And I said, well, yes, but why? Well, that's what he wrote, and that's what he told me to tell you. I said, yes, but I just need to know why. And she thought for a moment. She said, would you like me to ask him? I said, yes, please. So, anyway, today I actually got the call, and it is precancerous adenoma, which is not a bad, I mean, it's not bad, but that does mean I have to go back in 5 years for my second chance. So please show up in 5 years' time to this so that I can tell you the next installment of this story. Thank you.